What is the hardest thing to do in aviation? Pilots debate this: mountain flying at night, single pilot IFR in hard IMC, crop dusting at low altitude, all legitimate answers. But ask any naval aviator and they'll give you one answer without hesitation. Landing on a carrier, full stop, you're descending at over 600 feet per minute, the deck is moving, the ship is pitching. You have roughly 3.5 seconds from crossing the deck edge to either catching a wire or going to full power for a bolter. The margin for error is measured in inches and fractions of seconds. It is, by almost any metric, the most demanding act of precision flying performed routinely by any aviator in the world. The Navy has just put out a formal request for information asking industry what it would take to build an aircraft that does that autonomously. I'm Tower on ATIS Radio Hangar. And today, that's exactly where we're going. Today's coverage is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now back to the deck. The Navy's request for information, which came through AVJUB this week, calls for two flying prototypes of what they are describing as a carrier-based autonomous combat aircraft. The technical requirements in the RFI are worth walking through one by one, because each one represents a serious engineering and systems challenge. First, catapult launches. Carrier aircraft don't roll down a runway. They are accelerated from zero to flying speed in roughly 2 seconds by an electromagnetic or steam catapult. The forces involved are enormous. The aircraft must be structurally capable of handling those loads, and the autonomous systems must be able to sequence the launch, hold the correct attitude coming off the bow, and transition immediately to a controlled climb. There is no instructor in the right seat calling corrections. The machine has to do that itself. Second, arrested landings. The aircraft must be capable of catching a wire. This is not a soft arrival. You fly a precision glide path. You cross the deck threshold at a controlled airspeed, and your tailhook must engage a 1.5-inch steel cable. The deceleration from flying speed to zero happens in about 2 seconds. The aircraft takes an enormous load through the hook, the landing gear, and the airframe. The autonomous system must fly the approach, manage energy, and place the aircraft in exactly the right spot. Not approximately right, exactly right. Third, and this is where it becomes a combat aircraft rather than just a drone. The RFI specifies an external weapons capacity of up to 10,000 pounds. That is a significant warload. For reference, an F-16 Fighting Falcon carries a maximum external stores load of around 12,000 pounds total. We are talking about a purpose-built combat aircraft capable of meaningful strike or air-to-air missions, not a reconnaissance platform with a small payload bolted on. This is not a new idea, and it is important to understand how far the Navy has already come down this road. In 2013, the Northrop Grumman X-47B made history when it became the first autonomous aircraft to execute a successful arrested landing on an aircraft carrier, the USS George H.W. Bush. That moment was significant. The aircraft flew a precision approach, crossed the deck, and trapped. Then it was catapulted back off. The technology worked. The Navy proved that the fundamental capability was achievable. Then the program changed direction. The Navy decided that what it needed most urgently wasn't an autonomous strike aircraft, but an autonomous tanker. That became the MQ-25 Stingray, built by Boeing. The Stingray is now operational, and it has been doing something genuinely useful, extending the range of carrier airwings by acting as a flying fuel truck. A Super Hornet, or an F-35C with an MQ-25 tanker in the loop, can project power significantly further from the carrier. The Stingray doesn't carry weapons, it carries fuel. But it proved that an autonomous aircraft could integrate into carrier flight operations at the operational level, not just as a test event. The new RFI is the next step on that ladder. The Navy has learned how to build autonomous carrier tankers. Now they want to know how to build autonomous carrier fighters. Here's what you need to know about why this is harder than it sounds. Even with that background, carrier flight operations are not just technically demanding for the aircraft. They are procedurally demanding the carrier air traffic control environment, what naval aviators call the Marshall Stack, the Case 1 and Case 3 recovery procedures, the coordination between the ship, the aircraft, the air boss in primary flight control, and the landing signal officers. All of that is a tightly choreographed human system. An autonomous combat aircraft doesn't just need to be able to fly the approach, it needs to be able to communicate with, receive instructions from, and integrate into that system. Whether that means the aircraft actually communicates the way a piloted aircraft does, or whether it operates on a dedicated datalink while humans monitor from the ship. Those are exactly the kinds of questions a request for information is designed to surface. The weapons integration piece also raises questions that go beyond aviation. A carrier-based autonomous combat aircraft carrying 10,000 pounds of ordnance is, by any definition, a lethal autonomous weapons system. The military has policies governing how such systems are used, and specifically about keeping a human in or on the decision loop for lethal force. An aircraft that can launch from a carrier autonomously and carry weapons doesn't mean it will be shooting at things autonomously. Those are separate questions, but they will be part of any serious development program, and the answers will shape what this aircraft actually becomes. From a pilot's perspective, the interesting thing to watch here is the sensor and navigation suite. Flying a precision approach to a moving pitching deck requires the aircraft to know exactly where the deck is at all times. Modern carrier approaches use systems including the Joint Precision Approach and Landing System, which provides precision approach guidance similar to an instrument landing system, but adapted for shipboard use. An autonomous aircraft needs to take that data, fuse it with its own inertial navigation, handle deck motion, compensate for ship speed and heading, and fly a stabilized approach in all of that. In any weather, at night, in a combat environment where electronic systems may be jammed or degraded, it is a hard problem, but the X-47B showed it is a solvable one. The broader significance for those of us in general aviation is worth a moment. Autonomy in aviation is not coming. It is here. The MQ-25 is flying operational missions right now. The question is how far it goes, how fast, and what form it takes. The systems that make carrier autonomous operations possible, precision navigation, automated approach guidance, sensor fusion, human-machine interface design, will eventually feed into commercial and general aviation in some form. They always do. Military aviation has always been where the edge of the envelope gets pushed hardest, and what works there tends to find its way into the broader aviation world eventually. Whether you think autonomous combat aircraft represent the future of air power or raise serious questions you'd rather see answered first, the technology development behind them is genuinely remarkable. Landing on a carrier is the hardest thing a pilot can do. The Navy is working on making it something a machine can do just as well. AVWeb has the full story on the RFI. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Watch your lineup.